John chapter 11. As I said, we're going to suspend our study in Romans for a week. We go to Romans 2, I yell at you about what horrible sinners you are, repent, but it is, you know, Resurrection Sunday. We thought we'd track with that for just 1 week, and if that really bothers you, it's okay. Romans will wait for us. We'll be back again there next week. John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus, one of my favorite in all of Scripture. I think the Spirit of God will speak to us here this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we would that you... Here's the thing. We got a room full of people here, Lord, and only you know where we're all at and what we need to hear and what we need to take away here this morning. And I pray you'd bless in that unique way that only you can do. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Comfort us. Minister to us. Challenge us. Whatever you want. You're the sovereign. Be sovereign among us this morning. And when this is all said and done, we just want so that Jesus Christ is glorified. If that happens, fair enough. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, that hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen next chapter, the first few verses in chapter 12. But when John's writing this, he's looking back on the whole occasion, so he knows who did that. And he's just pointing out, you know, that it's that Mary. And we think, oh, thanks, appreciate that. Thanks for the heads up. That Mary, her brother Lazarus is sick. Therefore, his sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So you got somebody sick, and you send for Jesus. We do that by prayer. Very helpful, very instructive scripture. That's the prescription. Something moving sideways in your life, things are going bad, call out to Jesus, okay? That's what they did. They sent a message to Jesus. They sent unto him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus loves Lazarus. Did they think so? Yeah, but Jesus thinks so too, and so does the writer of this gospel. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, a lot of you know the story. Be careful. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't get sucked in, okay? It's a trap. Be careful. How many of you think Jesus just lied? Good. Nobody fell into it. Well, of course Lazarus dies. So what's that all about? Ultimately, he wouldn't be dead. I know I'm giving away the end from the beginning, but I think this is familiar ground. Ultimately, he wouldn't be dead. But is that what Jesus is talking about? Listen, I have an idea that Jesus' view of death and our view of death aren't the same thing at all. Death, you know, it's that visitor that comes every once in a while, and we don't know what to do with it. When God created us, we weren't wired for death. We weren't ever supposed to die. So now death happens, and it's always this strange, like, what do we do? Whatever you do, unless it's really unhealthy and ungodly, it's probably whatever gets you through that situation. What I do is I just put the people around me who I love the most, I just throw myself in the middle of them. There's tears, there's hugs, and that's all good. That's how I do it, okay? I would recommend that if you're looking for a strategy. But here's the thing. We're all, oh, you know, they're dead and they're dead. And Jesus is like, dead, what are you talking about? Oh, we've lost our mother. She's gone on and she's not around anymore. We've lost her. And Jesus lost her. She's right here. Well, she's having an awesome day. Dead, what are you talking dead? See, our view of dead and Jesus' view of dead aren't the same thing. Lazarus, I don't know exactly where he's in Abraham's bosom. I don't know exactly what's going on right now. That's what I would think. If you pushed me right into it, I'd say, I think he's in Abraham's bosom. Dead? He's like, you mean like stop being? Like unconscious? Well, I don't think that. He's not up and running around, I'll give you that. But not dead. I mean, if you're an unbeliever in Jesus Christ, death is the best thing that could happen in terms of not existing anymore. But that's not what's going to happen. We'll talk more about that. His sickness is not unto death. But you know what it is for? It's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That was my prayer. The end of this, I want Jesus Christ glorified. It's my heartbeat. It's what I'm all about. It's what we're all here for. It's the only reason. as a church of Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, about his glory, about spreading his gospel, about expanding his kingdom, about more people worshiping, praising the name of Jesus Christ. That's the whole, I'm not going to sneak up on you. That's what it's all about, Jesus Christ and his glory and his kingdom. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Look at that, see? They sent, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. Well, they knew, and he did. That's correct. He loves them exclusively. God's no respecter of persons. No, he loves. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. He loves. He knows you individually. I can call you up by name for as many as I know and tell you he loves you individually. Couldn't love you anymore. Wouldn't love you any less. Well, I had a really rough week. Doesn't matter. I've had a really rough life. I can't even talk. My life has been so rough. I've had a really bad go of it. I don't even, my whole life is just, it's a mess. It's abominable. It's got nothing to do with his love. He loves you. Be sure of that. He loves Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, that's a non sequitur. Hello, Jesus, he's sick. Come on, let's go. If there was an ambulance, you want to put it on full screech, siren, the whole business. Get life flight going. No, he takes 2 more days. Why? He's got a plan that's different from our plan. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is going to bug you about God, and it's just the way it is. You can't make him go fast, and he's willing to go. You can throw a hissy fit, beg and plead and stomp your feet, and he's not going to move any faster than he wants to move. And he's never late. So he abode 2 more days in the same place. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. Now, chapter 9 and 10, they had a nasty dust up at Jerusalem. Some bad stuff happened, and they wanted to kill him. And so he escaped right through their midst, the Bible tells us. And now he's going back into the, back into the lion's den, as it were. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there thither again? Well, yeah, and maybe that's not the best idea, Lord. Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. What's that all about? Well, the long and short of it is, I'd rather be in that storm-tossed wave, the boat where Jesus is, in the will of Jesus Christ, no matter what storm is raging around me, than the calmest seas without Jesus and against his will. Be where he wants you to be, do what he wants you to do, and don't pay attention to the circumstances. Listen, I'm the light. I'm going to Jerusalem. You want to come with me? You want to stumble around out here in the darkness? It's a good question that we all should think about. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, A friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So now, when he says this isn't unto death. Now he's using it in their terms. He's dead. He's dead. Okay? He uses the euphemism, sleep. It's not original with here. I mean, it's all through the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about those who sleep in Christ. You remember Jairus' daughter? No, she's not dead. She's just asleep. These people know death when they see it. No, she's way dead, Jesus. They ridicule him. I'll tell you, she's asleep. Watch, I'll go wake her up. That's just it. He says sleep because the believer, death is all it is, asleep. And I'm not talking about soul sleep. I'm talking about your physical frame. It's resting. It's at repose. He's going to wake it up again. Physical resurrection is on the near horizon for all who believe in Jesus. And so here he says, he's dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I was glad I wasn't there. Some stuff's going to happen. It's going to help your faith. That's what he's talking about, to the intent that you may believe. Then said Thomas, listen, I love Thomas. Thomas is great. I know he's got the bad rap. We all say doubting Thomas. You all say that all the time. I know. I hear that. Awesome Thomas. Thomas is, look at this here. And said Thomas, which is called Didymus. I like Thomas better. Unto his fellow, and Didymus just means twin. Is he half of a twin? Yeah, probably. I mean, that's where you get that nickname like that, right? Unto his fellow disciples, let us also go with him that we may die with him. Thomas is awesome. He's going to Jerusalem. He's probably going to die there. Well, listen, today's a good day to die. This is so Esther of him. We were reading about Esther Wednesday night. I'm going to see the king. Look, if I perish, I perish. She didn't care. It was like the more important, more pressing matter here than my life. Thomas the same way. Let's go with him. We die? Eh. I got all my insurance is paid up. No problem. Today's a good day to die. As long as we're with the Lord. That's exactly the right attitude. Once you figure that out, when you figure out what's worth dying for, you also figure out how you're supposed to live. We visited that Wednesday night. You can get the recording. I think that's very laudable. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now listen, this isn't 4 minutes. This isn't like, okay, let's get the paddles out, you know, the automated external defibrillator. Claire, and he's just, you know, you see the little flat line on the screen, then all of a sudden you see a little, and then all of a sudden it's a little weak, and they give him another one, and he's up and running around again in no time. This isn't that. 4 days is a long time to be dead, okay? You can put the paddles away, put the medicine away. No antibiotics aren't going to pull him through, okay? In 4 days, if you're like lying, which is usually how it is, you know, face up, the bottom part of your body would be this just black and gray and ghastly. The blood, it separates in the serum and the plasma and the bottom is all, and so the top is kind of yellow and waxy and disgusting, doesn't look very natural at all. They don't embalm. Jews don't embalm, okay? Your tissues are gelatinous and what's left of them is just, it's all shot. Eyes, they're not blinking again. They're not going to open up and see things. It's bad, okay? Too late for medicine. 4 days, the body would start to rot. Later on, when Martha comes unglued about the odor, there would be a ferocious odor. There really would. He was in the grave 4 days already. Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's about 2 miles, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is that true? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But he's there now. Is this an accusation? I don't know. It's hard to see all the time what the motives are. What she's saying is true enough. What are her motives? I don't know, but look at this. This is, I think, is kind of awesome. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. What is she saying? Is she thinking that he can, even after 4 days, resurrect Lazarus from the dead? What is she saying? Well, listen, long as you're here, you know, I got this rolling pin that, right, you make this wonderful bread and the handle's broken and can you fix that while you're here? I don't think so. Whatever you ask of God. I think she's specifically talking about her brother and saying, I know it's a late hour, but you're awesome. You can do anything. Anything you ask of God will happen. Is she hinting at the resurrection of Lazarus? I think so. This is faith that has, how many case studies does she have about people being dead 4 days? Precious few. She understands something about Jesus. You can do anything. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Hey, let's cut to the chase. Your brother's going to rise again. Now, she's not good with that. She wants to, okay, let's clarify here. That's fine. Jesus doesn't rebuke her for this, because you're the same way, I know. Now, wait a second, are we talking about, because she wants to know. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. I know that. Is that where we're going with this, Lord? Oh, that's fine, you know, you'll see him again in heaven someday in the great by and by. That is, She wants to know for sure, are you talking about right here, right now? Because all things being equal, I'd like to that resurrection to happen, but right here, right now, I'd like him back. She's asking for some clarification. Is he going to rise again in the resurrection last day? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Now, this is kind of instructive, is it not? Because I know a lot of people are looking for resurrection. How are you going to do resurrection outside of the resurrection? I know a lot of people want eternal life. How are you going to do eternal life outside of the life? I was talking to a guy yesterday at work. I was working yesterday over to Hudamaki. There used to be Chinette on College Ave. I was working there. I was talking to a friend. He's a friend. The guy works for us. It's really kind of hard. I'm very conflicted at work. I can say some things. I can't say a whole... You know what I mean? There's always some... It's kind of a little dicey. I work for somebody else. I'm kind of like, their representative. And conversations go where they will. And so this guy was showing me some things that he built. He's wonderful woodwork. Very, very talented fellow. I know he's talented in a lot of areas. Just very... A lot of craft, a lot of just capability. He showed me these gliders, these Canadian gliders he had made and stuff with his Adirondack design and all these. And he was showing me, this. And I was like really fascinated. Wow, that's awesome. That's incredible. I was thinking I might want to do something. Like, he's got all the tools and all the equipment and all that stuff. And I thought like, man, that's really cool. And he's saying that, he gives them some, he makes some, and he uses some, he sells others, and he raffles off for like charity. He gives some outright to charitable organizations like the Pine Tree Club, Pine Tree Camp. Some of you may have heard of that. It's down in Rome, is it not? It's like people who are very profoundly handicapped. And I thought it was a wonderful thing to do. And so he said to me, he says, so what do you think my chances are at the Pearly Gate? I blew it. I should have said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, I should have said a lot of things. I don't know. I'm like you. Sometimes I don't think real quick on my feet, and sometimes I don't have the right answer. I just turned and walked away because I was saying something by not saying something. Again, I can't start and preach a whole sermon. We have some conversations, and depending on who it is and what it is, I can say some things. But he said to me, what? He asked me, he set it up, and told me it's a little softball, floated it in there. I could have just cleared it out of there, but I pray for me. I mess up like you mess up. But I don't know what to say, so I said, oh, man. Just walked away. And I wasn't disgusted, but I was trying to, show him, something. How many thinks, he's in really good shoes because he builds stuff and gives it away for charitable organizations? How many think that's the way to get to heaven? Jesus doesn't think that. By the way, nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. I didn't rebuke him, you horrible individual. Stop doing that. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing in and of itself. If he's staking his eternity on that, he's going to be very sadly mistaken. Well, I know a lot of you are, too. I know a lot of you people are religious. You come in, I do a lot of religion. I do all these good things, and I'm putting a lot of stock in that, those things that I do. How are you going to resurrect outside of the resurrection? How are you going to have life outside of the life? That's what I want to know. Because I talk to people all the time. They want to go to heaven, and so what makes you, how are you going to get to heaven? And they start in with their, well, I go to church. Well, I give money. Well, they start adding up all the things, and it's incredible. Ask the person, next time it turns into the afterlife, the conversations on anything like that. Do you believe in God? Yeah. You believe in heaven? Yeah. Well, how are you going to get there? Count how many times the name Jesus Christ comes up. Invariably, unless they're born again, that's not the score. That's not how they keep score. And they start sharing about I was in the Methodist church or Lutheran church since I was 2 years old, they baptized me, and I've been there ever since, and good. So you get to these alleged pearly gates, and Jesus says, so you're a Methodist, all right. Awesome, come right in. I mean, is that what you're putting, you're Lutheran? Oh, Lutherans always make it, come on in. Is that what you're putting your stock on? Is that what you're putting your hope in? And by the way, I got nothing against Methodists or Lutherans. If that's where your hope is, you should refocus. You should rethink that. Jesus says to her, listen, this resurrection that Lazarus is headed for, that's not an event, that's me. That's awesome. That's just incredible. I'm the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me. And we talked about this at length last week. Where do people go to heaven? The ones who behave. No, ones who believe in me, Jesus says. This is clear as any scripture I know. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now we understand Jesus' view of resurrection. Dead, you mean stop breathing? All they did was change locations. I'm all over it. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. They're in my hands now, and I'm totally capable of bringing life out of death. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Boy, I do, my whole heart. I've put all my stock in Jesus Christ, who's able to deliver us from the grave. And now, people die, they go away from us. That's always sad. You cry about that. I cry about that too. That's sad. Yeah. Yeah. We see him again? Yeah. Yeah. Those who have died in Christ? Yeah. Listen, we get this incredible, like, reunion awaiting. I like that. I don't know what people don't know Jesus. I don't know what they do. I do know what they do. I do know what they do. Because I have people in my life, like you might have people in your life, you weren't so sure. As a matter of fact, you don't think that they're there. You might not think they're there. What do? I'll tell you what I do. I don't think about them at all. So that's not healthy. I know. That's all I got. That's all I got. Sue's mom passed away. It was like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago now. It's like a while. I was very, very sad. We're very close. Loved her dearly. See you later. It was joy. It was bittersweet joy. But it was. I can live with that. Others don't want to speak ill, but some I'm not so sure about. Like I say, I try not to think about them at all. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, the only right answer, yeah. Oh, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. I do. I believe you are able to take my brother and resurrect him. I do believe that you are the resurrection. I do believe that you are the life giver. I do. I am totally on board. I do believe. Because the question is on belief. Whosoever believeth, liveth, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Do you believe this? She says, yeah, I do believe that. I do. He didn't ask her if she was giving checks to the church. There's so many things he could have said. You all paid up on your sacrifices? How was your Yom Kippur celebration? You eating kosher? So many things he could have said. I'm the resurrection, you believe? She says, I'm on board. Absolutely, I believe. Oh, yeah, I believe. When she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master's come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Jews then, which were in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Mary and Jesus' feet are always, every time it mentions Mary, it always remarks about Jesus' feet. She's always at Jesus' feet. She's quite a gal. Let that be instructive to all of us. She's the one who washes his feet with her hair, dries them with her hair. And remember they're waiting on him? Martha is, and Mary's sitting at his feet learning. She's chosen the best part, Jesus says. Won't be taken away from her. Yeah, Jesus' feet's always involved with Mary. She fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's correct. That's right. Now, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Why? Because people he loves are hurting. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it is to suffer loss. He understands. I'm so glad. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. We could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. Jesus wept. Real tears? Oh, yeah. Crocodile tears? No. What's he weeping about? He's going to raise him in a couple minutes. Death. Death in general. Death of his friend. Listen, guys, I made this so perfect. I set it up so you were never supposed to die. You've made some bad choices. The wages of sin is death. Is he weeping for all those who would die outside of him? More importantly, do we have a God who puts on human flesh and comes to us and is, again, he's not untouched by the feelings of our infirmities. God crying? Yeah. Just think that through. That's beyond the pale. I can't even get my mind around that. Our God has tear ducts, and he knows how to use them. Incredible. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died?" Yeah, good question. The answer is yes. I think there's a little bit of an accusation there. Boy, he dropped the ball. Where was he when you need him? He was right where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing. He's God. He's always in step with the Father. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto the Lord, "By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." He would, too. He would smell ferocious. Listen, death stinketh. It really does. Sin stinketh. It worketh the death principle. The wages of sin is death. Death stinks. It's never a benefit to you whatsoever. Choose to sin. Choose to suffer. Do it God's way. There's no stink with that. It's just, it's glorious. It's, yeah, he would stink. Death stinks. Jesus saying to her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God?" Is he chiding her? I don't know. I think he's just giving her a little nudge like he does with us when we forget, when our focus is on lesser things. Am I God or aren't I? Oh, you're God. You're the Lord. You're the master of everything. Sometimes he has to remind me because my tiny little pea brain, I'm so often focused on the circumstances and not on our great God. He's just regrouping your focus. I told you, I'm capable of this. Is Jesus at this point, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, not even. Not even. I know your situation seems grim. It's not to him. He's seen it before, and he's capable of delivering. Saith, I don't know thee, if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God. I want to see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his voice and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Interesting, very instructive. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, it's often commented, if he didn't say Lazarus, if he said come forth, all the dead would come out of their graves, because that's the voice that's going to call all of us someday. I think what you will hear, your first name, come forth. That's what I think. I you do it one by one? No, I don't think so. I mean, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, I think it's so instantaneous. You know, in the twinkling of an eye, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, atomos is the idea of twinkling. There's no shorter time period. That's the voice. It's going to call us all out of the grave. I think you'll hear your first name, and I think that because of this verse here. Am I right? I don't know. We'll know. When it happens, on the other side of it, we'll talk about it. Hey, Adam, you're right. Like, oh, cool. Well, you knucklehead, you know what you were talking about. I know, but it hasn't happened yet. It's hard to talk about things that are going to happen that haven't happened yet. I think is what you'll hear. I think you'll hear your name come forth, if you're dead. If you're alive, I think you'll hear your name come up here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. That's my take on that. Again, I could be wrong. Often I am. Lazarus come forth. Nothing happened. So he redoubled his effort. No. I love the way some Hollywood producers, he's like drumming up all this like, oh, and he's just like he's, you know, got a, like it's some sort of like big strain on him. Really? This is the same one who said, light, be. Universe, come into existence. There it was. I think it was like, man, that was really difficult. I don't know if that was going to happen or not. I think he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amplification, microphone, bullhorn. Lazarus! You know, I had to call him from someplace. I don't know any of this. I think he just said, Lazarus, come forth. He said it with a loud voice. I will say that. And he that was dead came forth, both bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes. Lazarus, come forth. What happens? Lazarus comes forth. I love that about Jesus. His face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I have a question. He's got these grave clothes on, because that's how they did. He's not wrapped up like a mummy, but they had certain ways of preparing the body. So he comes bound, hand and foot, kind of hopping out of there. I know, it is a little comedic, I know. Loose him. I don't want those grave clothes on him anymore. Those are what dead people wear. He ain't be wearing them. You take those grave clothes away. Loose him. That's a word for us. I know some of you like the grave clothes because you still seem to have them on, seem to find a use for them. Jesus' word is no grave clothes. So what do you do? What are you talking about grave clothes, Adam? What do you mean? I'm talking about like dead people act a certain way. They the wages of sin is death, right? Some people still involve death even though you've been translated over into life now. Say, but this hasn't happened to me. Oh yeah, it has. Spiritually has. That's why we're born again. I was born, now I'm born again. What had happened in the interim? Death. You died? Yeah. Didn't you? Now, I know about my death. It was crucifixion. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What's that? Resurrection. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith, believing, right? In the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Grave clothes? Grave clothes? Really? All things are passed away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things, well, they're passed away. Get rid of those grave clothes. You ain't going to need them anymore. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I'm not that person who went into the tomb. I'm resurrected now. It's a difference. I don't go there. I don't look at that. I don't act like that. I don't use that substance. I don't drink from that bottle. No grave clothes. Say, well, I'm still struggling with, you know, cigarettes and alcohol and pornography and lust. And can I ask you a question? Why? Why? He took it away. It wasn't Lazarus. Well, I'm going to get out of these grave clothes. It wasn't Lazarus. I'm going to get out of the tomb. That was Jesus. Jesus deliver him from the tomb? Yeah. Did he deliver him from the trappings of it? Yeah. He said, I don't want him to be like that. Set him free. He's mine. He came dead. He's bound hand and foot. Boy, we are. We are when we come to Christ. It's called sin. We're bound hand and foot. With grave clothes, face was bound about with a napkin, smiling old face. I don't know, it's behind some dead napkin thing, right? Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus is still very, very adamant about this. Loose him. I don't want him to have the trappings of death. I don't want her to act like that anymore. So what am I going to do now? You've heard this and you say, yeah, you're right. This should go in my life, this area. So you're going to redouble your efforts and you're going to... Have you ever heard anything I've ever said? I'm not calling anyone to redouble anything. I told you, Satan laughs at our white knuckles. I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to drink again. Satan's like, you will. I'll have you in a bottle. Because you trust in yourself. You trust in your ability. You're redoubling your efforts. You know what you are? Religious, incurably so. Jesus took me away from the grave clothes. I got to tell you something. There's not... Well, I don't, what are you telling me, Adam? You're sin free? No. But when we get to Romans chapter 6, we'll talk about that. Reckon your members dead to sin. Reckon, ascribe, count, calculate your body parts, your members, what you are, what you do. Ascribe death to that. Count it as dead. Why? Because it is. And sometimes we forget, and sometimes we still act like dead people. I wish that when I got saved, somebody pressed the delete button on my brain. I'd even learn how to walk and talk again if I flushed all the other stuff with it. But God doesn't want it that way. He wants us to learn how to live as his child, trusting in his power, not our own efforts, not our own I'm going to try harder. I've already done it. Get rid of the grave clothes, Jesus says, and they loosed him. Loose him and let him go. So that everyone's excited about this. They're all like, yay! And this Jesus mania breaks out, and there's thousands of people running up for his autograph. They got cell phones, they're taking selfies of them and Jesus, and they're posting them on YouTube. And No. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Volition. Just their free choice. That's awesome. This guy, even the grave doesn't have him stymied. He's even victor over the grave. This is I'm on his team. I believe in him. Isn't that an awesome verse? But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So the Pharisees, they're on board now. He raised up Lazarus. Okay, I'm on Jesus' team. Yay. No. Verse 47, gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees of the council and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. Well, listen, Einstein, you might want to think about believing on him. He's the Messiah of Israel, the one you've been waiting for. It might be an option. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. One of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Boy, that's such a wrong answer. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied Jesus should die for the nation. The Holy Spirit using this man Caiaphas, even though he's not a godly man, he's prophesying, and that's exactly what's going to happen. But his heart is far from God. Not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Aren't you glad? How many of you got Jewish blood in you? Anyone? I don't know. I mean, at this point, who knows, right? My name's not Jewish. It's Polish, I think. I guess. I don't know. Eastern European, Kasperzak, right? Not very Italian. I don't know. Jewish? I don't think so. But I don't have to be. Look at what he's saying here. Not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that was scattered abroad. Now look at this. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Verse 53, then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Pretty stark contrast, is it not? Listen, believe in him, resulting in life. Or you're of those who would like to see Jesus dead. You know, remember back in the WWJD phase, we had the bracelets on, what would Jesus do? Kind of good. I have no problem with that. I had my bracelet on too for a while when it was fashionable. The other team, the bad guys, they would wear bracelets similar, WWJD. We want Jesus dead. And my thinking is, I want you to embrace that because you're in one of two camps. This like a fuzzy gray that we invented. Kind of, I'm not really in Jesus' camp. I'm not really like a believer, but I'm not against him. I think, you know, he's really cool in a lot of ways. I love when he blesses the little kids. Oh, that's really cool because I love children too, and I've heard it all. So I'm not really against him. I'm not for him. No, no, you're in one of these camps, okay? I want you to understand that. If you're in that camp out there on the outside looking in, I'd invite you to believe in Jesus Christ. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is a wonderful day to be born again. You can remember it. every Easter, every Resurrection Sunday, you can celebrate it again. Understand this, you're in one or the other. Not because I said so. I mean, what I say, who cares, right? Because the Bible says so. The Word of God says so. It puts you in this camp or put you in this camp. So you say, well, I'm in the camp. I'm on board. I'm all in. I love Jesus. Well, amen. That's what the whole day is about. Think it all the way through. Celebrate. There's a day coming, I should think, pretty quick, not too far off in the distance, when we're going to hear a trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. You call it the rapture. It's a bad name. I know what you mean. I like the term resurrection. If that surprises you, that's how bad the name rapture is. It shouldn't surprise you. When you have dead people rising, I call that resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, will there be some of us? I think maybe most all of us. I think it's that soon. I don't think the actuarial table will rise up and bite many of us at all. Maybe none of us. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's stand. Let's pray. Matt will send us out of here in song. Jesus, you're an awesome God. Death couldn't hold you. As a matter of fact, you're so awesome that you can't hold any of your friends. The grave, we don't fear it. Death, no sting. No sting. It's got nothing. You have victory over life, victory over death. You are the resurrection of life, and we are those who believe. Lord, perhaps there are some who've visited us this morning. We're so happy that they're here, but that you could speak this message to their hearts. It's time for them to believe in Jesus Christ. It's time for them to ascribe all faith to this awesome Savior and stop trusting in works of the flesh that are never going to get us there. Now, Lord, as we go our way and we're with our family and friends just enjoying a dinner, I pray your blessing. I pray that you would go with all of us, Lord, and be the unseen guest at every table. Because you're always welcome, Lord, to fellowship with us. You're always welcome in our midst. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.